of people who were put in a spot and they're trying to figure out what's the right way to pray. How does that work? What's it supposed to look like? Did I say the right words? Did they notice that I had trouble finding that perfect phrase? Did I wow them? Was it too long, or maybe it wasn't long enough? Did I embarrass them, or did I embarrass myself? You know, all in all, praying in public can be a lot of pressure, because there are just so many ways that you can goof up a prayer. And then what would people think? Last week, we began a new series about worship and kingdom worship. And it's the kind of worship that Jesus wants us to experience. For Jesus, worship, it's not just an issue about what you do to worship God, but it's the reason why you do what you do that's critically important, that's crucial. You remember that last week we looked at a general principle that we got from Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, where Jesus says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father who's in heaven." And so Jesus starts with this general principle that looks something like this. If you perform religious acts to impress other people, then you will miss God's reward. People worship God in a lot of different ways and for many different reasons, but those who belong in God's kingdom need to watch their motives, why they're doing what they do. When you do these acts of righteousness, these acts of worship, we need to make sure that we're doing it for God and not just to put on a show for the people around us, for people to see what we're doing. In our day, just like in Jesus' day, there are people who do good religious activities just because they want to look good in front of other people. How can I impress my friends and neighbors? Or do I go to church? What will my friends think of better of me if I give to the poor, if I say my prayers? And Jesus says that if you're really interested in worship, if you're involved in a lot of religious activity just to impress people, that doesn't mean anything to God. That's not what it's about. If your motive for going to church or doing some good thing or helping the poor or praying to God or performing some religious duty, if those things you do to gain the admiration of the people around you, then that does not mean anything to God. To explain this general principle that we see here, Jesus goes on and gives us three examples to illustrate what he's talking about. They're giving and praying and fasting. And so last week we talked about giving to people in need. Today we want to talk about praying. And Jesus says, praying, let's not just talk about what you do to show your devotion to God. Let's talk about why you do it. Let's talk about your motives for praying. What's deep in your heart that's leading you to prayer, that's making you want to say something. And here's what Jesus says in Matthew 6. We're down in verse 5 now. "And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by men." The love part is actually they love to be seen by men, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners while they're praying. In Jesus' day, there were people whose prayer was nothing more than a performance. There were certain times that were customary for prayer, and these people apparently seemed to time it just right so that when it was prayer time, guess what? There they were right out in the middle of the street on the street corner, or they happened to be standing in a real public place where everybody would be sure to see them praying and hear them praying. And so maybe it was in their house of worship, or maybe it was out on the street corner, but they got a lot of attention when they prayed, and they loved that. That's what they really craved and loved, is the attention that they got. And so when they prayed, they made sure that they prayed where people would see them and gave them a prayer that they'd really remember, that they'd really be impressed by. They were champion prayers. They were prayer warriors. And Jesus said, don't try to be like them. Don't pray that way, because that's not what prayer is all about. These people were claiming to talk to God, but in reality, who were they talking to? They're talking to the people around them. Their motive was not to worship God, but to impress people. And so God says, you know what? They get just exactly what they're looking for. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. In other words, they're praying so that people will notice, and people noticed, and that was what they got as a reward, is that people noticed. If you were here last week, you might remember that this is an accounting term here at the end, this reward in full. The term means they're paid. They've been paid in full. And it's the same word that you used when you issued somebody a receipt and said that the account was closed, that they didn't have anything else that they owed you. Those people who prayed to impress other people get the reward of impressed people. And that's all they get. The prayer doesn't mean anything to God. It wasn't really a prayer to him after all. It was a prayer to other people. And so God really doesn't register with him, and he really doesn't have anything to do with it because you weren't talking to me. What we're talking about here is ostentatious prayer. It's prayer for show, a religious act of worship that's designed to impress people instead of designed to serve God. I want you to notice the key elements in this type of prayer. You might compare this to what we did last week, but here's ostentatious prayer. And Jesus, he's laying out these three examples in three parallel ways. They have almost exactly the same words. Now, first of all, this ostentatious prayer is a public speech. It's really a performance, a presentation. It's something that the people are doing because of the audience that's around them. The words that they're saying are designed to hit the target audience, and the target audience is down here around them, the people that are listening. And then it's also distinguished by the motive. The reason why they pray is for that praise, for that recognition from other people. And the result is that they're paid in full. They get exactly what they were aiming for. How many of your prayers do you think are ostentatious prayers? If you kind of think back about how you pray and where and when you pray, do any of them fit into that category that you're really kind of more concerned about what people are thinking about them, people are thinking about what you're saying, than you are concerned about what God is thinking about what you're saying? Because I think that sometimes it's easy for us to slip into that when there are people that are listening, when we have occasion to be called on to pray in front of other people. How many of your prayers are for not God's benefit, but for the benefit of the people who are listening? I think it is easy to do this, to slip into that. You know, I learned how to pray that way when I was just a little guy. You know, we'd have people over for dinner, and Dad would have, you know, one of us seven kids pray for the meal. And, you know, I'd try to pray like I heard my dad pray and say, you know, say things the right way. And sometimes after dinner, people would say, or after the prayer, people would say, "Great job. Wow, well done." You know, as if I'd just finished some kind of performance. And maybe in a way I had. Prayer can be a kind of performance, saying the right words in the right way, smoothly and loudly and clearly, and pausing at just the right moments for effect. And for some, talking to God requires a special language. You can't just talk to God in regular English if you want to show proper respect. Everybody knows that God speaks old Shakespearean English. That's what the language he knows from the 1600s. And so otherwise, he wouldn't have written the Bible in that language, you know? And so everybody knows that that's how you should talk to God, and he wouldn't have included all those thous and these and shalt nots if that wasn't the way that he talked. Prayer must be a certain way, and it has to begin a certain way and end a certain way. Have you noticed that? And apparently, it's very important to get that just right, and that's one of the reasons why we really love to have prepared prayers, you know, kind of pre-prepared, where we can open a book and there's the prayer and that's what we say, you know, and that way we know what we're supposed to say. Now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep, and then that way we don't have to really think about what we're supposed to say because it's all there prepared for us. You know, I'm not trying to say that there's anything wrong with written prayers. I'm not trying to say that there's anything wrong with praying in King James English if you wish to show respect to God and if that's your custom. What I am saying is that when we pray, we are often too concerned, way too concerned with getting it right. And part of the reason I think that we are concerned about getting it right is because we're worried about the people who are listening. You know, if you're worried about honoring God because God's listening, then that's one thing. But if you're worried about saying it a certain way because other people are expecting that and because that's what they think it should be, then that's different. And that we've shifted our attention to praying to other people instead of praying to God. I think sometimes that's the reason why we pray that way, is we want our prayers to sound good to other people. But Jesus says that is not the kind of prayer that I'm interested in. That's not the kind of prayer that I want you to learn. And by contrast, he tells us in verse 6, this is how you should pray. When you pray, Go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. When you pray, make it a prayer between you and God, just the two of you. Go someplace where you can't be seen. A hidden place is literally what this is saying. And God, who also can't be seen, he will meet you in that hidden place. And I have a confession to make. One thing that's really hard for me about prayer is that we're asked to pray to a God that I cannot see. And I'm a big people person. I like to talk to people, you know, and they speak back to me. And it's a little hard for me to get used to this idea of talking to somebody who's invisible, who's not there, who doesn't say anything back audibly to me. And, you know, that makes for a difficult conversation, let's put it that way. And I can't see God, and it's very difficult. When I'm praying all by myself, because of that, I think, I get easily distracted. You know, now some of you maybe have had a conversation with me, and maybe I got distracted in the middle of our conversation. I apologize for that. That doesn't usually happen. But you know what? When I'm talking to God and I can't see him, boy, I get distracted real easily. And I'll be kind of going along praying, and suddenly I'm solving problems. And I'm thinking about what's going to happen today. And I realize that about 5 minutes ago, I must have stopped praying. I don't know when it happened, but somehow I got off track. You know, I think that's, for me, because of this invisible thing, because God is invisible, and that is really hard for me to connect with an invisible God and speak with him as if I was speaking with one of you. You know, one of the things that I think helps with that for me is praying with other people, because when I get together with a group of people that are there for a common purpose, it helps me focus on my prayer. Now, there's a danger built into that I might start thinking, what are all these people thinking about what I'm saying? But it can also really help me to focus in on, I'm talking to God, and he's real, and we're all here together for that purpose. It's the difference between like just having a casual conversation that my mind might wander, or setting an appointment and saying, I want to have a conversation. And my visible brothers and sisters help me sense the presence of the invisible God. You know, so for me, that's a big help, to pray together in a group and to pray out loud. And here's another way that maybe would help you keep your focus on God during prayer, and that's to pray out loud even if you're not in a group of people. Even if you're alone and nobody but God is listening, to pray out loud. You know, I had a friend that did this and really, really helped him to keep on track, and that also helps me. Sometimes you find that hidden place, and it isn't in a closet. It might even be outside. It might be with everybody around you, and yet still you've found that little closet, that hidden place where you can talk just between you and God. I had a professor in college. We used to look out the dorm window and watch him walk across the campus talking out loud, you know, just apparently to the trees. And we all kind of thought he was a little crazy, but you know what? I wonder if he wasn't praying, if that wasn't part of his way of communicating with this God that you can't see. You know, you might look a little bit strange to the neighbors, but yeah, so what? You know, it won't be the first time probably for many of you, and, you know, for me. Talking out loud helps me to have that conversation with a God that I can't see. You know, I don't think this verse means, just like last week, and last week's verse about giving, I don't think this verse means that all prayer must be done in private, that there is no such thing as public prayer. In fact, Jesus himself prayed out loud with his disciples listening. I don't mean always, but sometimes he prayed out loud with his disciples listening. And in the book of Acts, there are several examples of public prayer in the early church where it was in a group, and there's a place for that. I think what Jesus is trying to say is that prayer is something that you say to God. And so even though it's out loud, even though other people can hear it, remember that you're not talking to all those other people. If you're praying, you're speaking to God. And you're just letting them listen in on your private conversation with God. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, with letting somebody hear your conversation with somebody else. But you need to keep your mind focused on the fact that it isn't the people that you're talking to, it's God you're talking to. So what Jesus is saying is, even if you're with other people, keep your conversation, keep your communication strictly between you and God. I know some of you are old enough, like me, to remember the Dome of Silence from the TV show Get Smart. Remember that way back when? If you don't want to admit it, that's okay. But, you know, whenever Max wanted to have a private conversation with the chief, you remember what he did? Okay? He'd call for the dome of silence, and this big plastic dome would drop out of the ceiling and cover just the two of them, and then that way they could have this private conversation. Now, it's kind of a corny illustration, but that's what prayer is supposed to be like between you and God, is you pull down the dome of silence when you want to have a conversation between you and the chief and just the two of you. And when you pray, no matter how crowded the room, no matter who's listening, you can enter into that secret place where you can have that one-on-one conversation with the hidden God and with Him alone. Now, you know, if this is a problem for you, then maybe Jesus, I think, is saying, then go to your closet. That way you won't be tempted to impress people with your prayers. If that might be a problem for you, then pray in private. And then that way, there's no question about what your motive is. It couldn't possibly be to gain human approval unless you have a lot of people in your closet. Then it might be. But otherwise, you're just there with God, and He's the only one you're praying to. I think it's really important, again, just like last week, to be precise about this. Jesus has a tendency to say things in this very, very stark way to kind of alert us and grab our attention, help us rethink it. And we get in trouble if we push that too far towards black and white, because it's not the way He means it. And so I don't think He's talking here about don't ever pray if anybody else is around. He Himself did not do that. But I think it's important that we understand He's not saying that you've done something wrong if people hear your prayers. He's not saying that. I don't think He's saying that you're doing anything wrong even if people are impressed by your prayers. Just like last week when we talked about people might know you give, might know how much, they might find that out, and they might be really impressed with how much you give, but your heart could still be that you gave only for God's glory and not for any praise of people. And the same thing's true of prayer. You could say a prayer that's very impressive to people who hear it, and the question is not whether it was impressive. The question is, where was your heart? Were you talking to God, or were you talking to people? It's all about your motive. You know, a lot of times there are people that are afraid to pray in front of somebody else. Probably some of you feel that way. You know, you kind of picture yourself like Whoopi Goldberg there, you know, trying to work through this and, you know, avoid anything that's going to be disastrous and ruin your whole life. And some of you probably feel like, I really don't want to pray in front of anybody else. And, you know, it's okay to pray in private, when only to God, when nobody else can hear, obviously. But if you feel uncomfortable praying in front of other people, if you feel like that, I know that it's hard, but I want to make a suggestion to you, and that is, forget those guys. Ignore all those people that are around you. Like I said, I know that's not easy to do, but just ignore them, because it doesn't matter what they think. Just express to God what you think. Express your own words, your own thoughts, your own feelings, and be yourself, and don't worry about the other people who might hear or who are listening, because God already knows you. He already knows your thoughts. And you know what? He loves you. Even though He knows all that about you, He still loves you. And so He wants to commune with you and talk to you, and don't worry about whether anybody else is listening. It is none of their business what you are saying to God. And by the way, if you are one of those people who think that it is your business, cut it out, you know. God didn't make you the prayer sheriff to go around and make sure that everybody's saying this right and doing it right. You know, as a pastor, I've had many occasions to say lots of prayers in front of other people, and I've had people evaluate them and found them wanting. I've had people say, you know, he shouldn't pray like that. He should have added this or taken that out. And I just want to say to them, you know, I'm sorry, I wasn't talking to you, you know, because we're supposed to be talking to God in front of each other, but we're supposed to be talking to God, not to each other. You know, I admit that sometimes it's hard for me to keep my focus on God when I'm praying. And it's really easy to be thinking about what are people going to think about what I say. When I pray in the worship service, I want people to have a meaningful worship experience. Maybe I pray with somebody who's in crisis, and you know, I want them to feel God's comfort. But every time I pray, I try to remind myself that I am not talking to people. I'm speaking to God. And I find that I have to remind myself every time. Otherwise, I'm just talking to people. I have to think about that dome of silence. Does that happen to you too? You know, if it does, I'd encourage you to bring down the dome of silence. And then every time, make it a point to make sure that you're praying to God instead of praying to people. The reason why this is so important, that our motives in coming to prayer are focused on God, the reason why this is so important is because our motives will determine the outcome of our prayers. Jesus urges us to pray in secret, and I think that means in private, just between him and me, even if other people are present. But he urges us to do that so that our motives will be completely pure. And then he says, your Father, who sees what is done in secret, he will reward you. The one who met you in that secret place and saw what happened in that secret place, he will reward you. Those who pray with pure motives will be rewarded by God. Now, what is that? Anybody stop to think about that? What is that reward? You know, when I read through these verses, I kind of stop and go, what reward? You know, what is that reward? And what is the reward of a prayer? I think that the reward he is talking about is that God will hear your prayer and God will answer it. The word reward is used elsewhere of paying back a debt. It's the same word that we saw last week. And that's the way the Bible describes this. If you pray to God with a pure motive, not because of how it will look, but because you love God, you want to honor him and obey him, then God will pay you back. He'll reward you for that. That is, he will answer you. I think it's important to remember that the answer that God gives us might not be the answer, the exact answer that we were looking for. Just like when somebody asks you a question, you don't always give them the answer that they were hoping for, and sometimes God answers our prayers that way too. But God promises that when we pray to him, not praying so that others will applaud, but when we really pray to him, then he will answer our prayers by giving us whatever answer is the very best for us. Now check out this verse from Psalm 145. God's there, listening to all who pray, for all who pray and really mean it. Those are the people that he's waiting for, listening for, the ones who really mean it when they pray. And he does what's best for those who fear him. He hears them call out, and he saves them. Notice that this verse is talking about the people that really mean it when they pray. In other words, they're really talking to God. They're not just talking to each other. They're not talking to men. And God knows the difference. First Chronicles says, God examines every heart. He sees through every motive. If you seek him, he will make sure that you find him. And so it really depends on what you're looking for when you pray. Are you looking to impress other people? Or are you looking to capture God's attention? And if it's God's attention that you're looking for, you got it. That's what he's saying. You pray with that motive, and God is going to hear you. If you are seeking human approval, then that's what you find. But if you're really seeking God, then that's what you find. That's the reward of secret prayer. 1 John 5 says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And so we can pray with confidence that God is listening as we're really talking to him. He really does listen. And if we know that he hears us, that he's listening, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. We know that God's going to give us an answer. I think that's the reward that comes from secret prayer, from prayer that's private in the dome of silence, just between the two of you, you and God. The one who prays to God in that way will be rewarded. He will be heard. He will be answered. But that reward is only for those who pray with that pure motive. So now we can see this kind of complete contrast between these two, between ostentatious prayer and private prayer. And Jesus says, don't do this one, do this. Private prayer, instead of being public, is private, secret prayer is. It's prayer for an exclusive audience, not for the audience of everyone listening, but just for God and for him alone. And the reason behind it, the thing that motivates that prayer is not what other people would think of it, not the praise of men, but it's rather to honor and bring glory to God and to obey him. That's the motive behind that prayer, is not to get human recognition, but rather to give recognition to God. And then the result is different too. It's instead of being paid in full because you've received praise from men, instead of that, you're expecting and anticipating a reward from God because he rewards those who pray in this way. There's one more thing that Jesus adds about prayer in this passage. And this is a little bit different. You know, the three examples that he gives, they have a kind of a formula that it follows in all three of those sections of verses. And here in prayer, for some reason, Jesus keeps going, and he talks about it a little bit more. And in fact, next week we're going to talk about the next section, which is really not one of the three examples. It's just kind of running with this prayer thing, and Jesus gives them the Lord's Prayer in the passage we're going to talk about next week. But here he also adds something else that's not found under the giving or under the fasting in those areas, those topics. He adds something specifically about prayer, and here's what he says. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. They think that the many words that they say will cause God to hear them. Now, he's just said, if you pray in this way, God will reward you. And I think he's talking about answering. God will hear and answer. And he's saying, if you look out there in the Greek pagan world, okay, they think that the way to get God to answer them is to say lots of stuff. In many ancient religions, there was this idea that somebody could persuade the gods to act if they just used the right magic words, and they said them over and over again. And this word babbling actually means to say bata. That's what it means. And bata doesn't mean anything. So it just means to say bata, 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 you know, and that's their prayer. And so he says, don't do that. Don't just go bata, bata, bata around, you know. That doesn't mean anything. But rather... You need to say something that really does mean something. It isn't like a rain dance where you get just the right magic formula, you hit on that, and then you just keep repeating it until you get results. You know, and this isn't just an ancient problem. That's something that we also face these days. And sometimes today people treat prayer the same way. You know, say a Hail Mary and you catch a fish, right? You know, or whatever. If you just keep saying our fathers, then God will protect you. You know, as long as you're saying our Father who art in heaven, then God's not going to wipe you out if you're doing that. So just keep saying that and it'll work. And even in our circles, prayer can become very rote and meaningless. Just a bunch of magic words that we say to try to get God's attention, to try to get him to think about the problems that we're having, to get our desires addressed. And you know, it's not just words that can become rote and meaningless. I think everything we do on a regular basis is in danger of becoming meaningless and losing all of its meaning. So, you know, we say, let's pray. And guess what? Everybody does. They close their eyes and bow their heads. And why is that? Well, it's because there's some verse in the Bible that says, here's how you pray, and has a little diagram next to it, you know, like this. No, it's not that. It's because your mother said, fold your hands, close your eyes, bow your head, right? And where did mom learn the right way to pray? Well, she learned it from her mom. And so somewhere way back, I suppose originally, there was a lot of meaning in some of those things. Although, maybe bowing your head was a sign of respect. And maybe, I'm not sure about closing your eyes unless it was just you concentrate and shut out everything. And, you know, the folding your hands, I'm pretty sure, instead of coming from the Bible, probably came from, Timmy, stop slapping Johnny when we're praying, you know, so fold your hands. And then that's the way to pray. But now, you know, if you go to any Christian bookstore, this is prayer, right? You know, as if somehow we know that Jesus' hands in Gethsemane were, you know, like that. And we don't know that. There's absolutely nothing in the Bible about that. And a lot of the traditions that we have around prayer have completely lost whatever meaning they might have had. Sometimes you think about it, and if you do, that's great. But sometimes we do things just because that's the way we've always done them. You know what? In the Bible, there are examples of people praying, not just while they're kneeling, but while they're standing or sitting. And one of the most common ways of praying, most common postures in prayer, is somebody lying flat on their face on the ground or the floor. Now, that's not really big in Christian bookstores. You know, you don't see lots of books about the flat-on-your-face Christian, you know, instead of the kneeling Christian, because kneeling kind of has fit into that thing. It's a big deal in some churches, and it's kind of fit into our mold of what prayer looks like. But in the Bible, you see it very different than that. And you know what? In the Bible, there are no verses that talk about folding your hands. There are verses about people lifting their hands to heaven and holding them up in the sky while they pray. They don't do it every time they pray, but there are examples of that, and there's no examples of this. In the Bible, you know, there are no verses that talk about people closing their eyes to pray. Not a one. I can't find one. But there are several that talk about people looking up into heaven as they pray. So I wonder why that didn't become our tradition. And yet these habits get so ingrained in us, I think that often they become meaningless, and we don't even think about it at all. You know, one time I was speaking at this high school group, and I couldn't resist this. I just thought I'd try and give it a try. I almost did it this morning, but I thought I'd spare you guys. And I said to the kids, okay, before we begin, let's lift our eyes and our hands to heaven and pray. And guess what they did? Anybody? The entire room, everybody in the room, closed their eyes and went like this. Yeah. The entire room. Why? Is it because they were thinking? They didn't think about it at all. They didn't hear the words. They didn't process what it meant. They didn't think about the symbolism of any of it. What they did is they shifted into what I call prayer mode. You know, it's kind of like you flip a little switch, and all of a sudden, we're in prayer mode. And so I think that's what they did. And we even have code words to let people know when we're entering prayer mode and exiting prayer mode. You know, if you say, Dear Heavenly Father, just try that in a conversation sometime. Just try saying, Dear Heavenly Father, and see if people don't go like this, you know? It's like, oh, we're praying, whoa, you know, because that's the signal word that lets everybody know, now we're starting prayer mode. And then have you ever tried, like, ending a prayer without saying amen? Just never ends, you know? Everybody's still like this, you're eating, getting seconds, you know? Why? Because that's kind of this code word that lets us know that that prayer is over. And you know what? There's a lot of prayers in the Bible that end without amen. There's very few of them actually that do. And sometimes they say amen right in the middle of a sentence when they're talking to somebody else. And it has nothing to do with praying at all. And yet those have become kind of these code words for prayer mode. Everyone thinks that way, but we've just kind of gotten used to it. And look, you know, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with kneeling. There's nothing wrong with bowing your head. There's nothing wrong with folding your hands or saying amen at the end of your prayers. What I'm saying is, are we thinking about those things when we do them? Or do we do it just because that's the way we've always done it? And it's become a meaningless rote habit that has nothing more than tradition behind it. I'm saying that we need to pray with meaning and with sincerity. And if we don't take the time to stop and think about what we're doing and what we're saying and why we're saying and doing it, then we're praying like these guys. Bada, 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 bada. You know? And that's it. That is exactly what prayer is not supposed to be. Prayer is supposed to be intentional and thoughtful and meaningful words and actions directed toward God. Something that we say, you know, consciously I'm thinking, I'm bowing my head because I respect and honor you, the King of Kings. I'm closing my eyes because I want to shut out the distractions that are around me and focus only on you. Or I'm lifting my eyes to heaven and I'm talking to you. And maybe I'm just looking at the wall, but I'm thinking about God and I'm speaking with him. That's the kind of prayer that God wants us to experience. Does prayer that takes place at church, does that count more than other prayers? You know, sometimes people talk like that. I mean, I've heard people say that you can kind of measure a church's spirituality by who shows up at the prayer meeting. Is that true? Is prayer every day more effective than prayer once a week? Is like if you pray about a particular request and you pray every single day, is that more effective than praying once a week? How about a long prayer? Is a one-hour prayer, does that work better than a five-minute prayer? You know, we sometimes get involved in thinking about things like that, but you know, real prayer, kingdom prayer, is not about posture. It's not about location of where you're praying from. It's not about frequency It's not about eloquence. It's not about choosing the right words. It's about sincerity. It's about meaning. It's about you making a personal connection with God between what you think and feel, and you're expressing that to God and to Him. Regardless of who's listening, you're really talking to Him alone. It's talking, prayer is talking to God as if you really were talking to God, because you are talking to God. That's what sincere prayer is focusing in on, I am speaking with God, and the rest of it is meaningless. I want meaningful conversation with God. So don't worry about the formulas. Just express yourself. Just pour out your heart and your thoughts. And that's what Jesus says. Don't be like these bada, bada, bada guys. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. You don't need to try to wake Him up. You don't need to get His attention. You don't need to impress Him with some fancy words or special code language in order to have an audience with God. He's there waiting for you. He wants to talk to you. He already knows what you need, and He knows what you need better than you do, and He wants you to express that to Him. You know, sometimes when we read this verse, people wonder, well, you know, if God already knows what I need, then what do I need to tell Him for? I mean, didn't He already know? That's what that says. God knows what I need, so why should I tell Him if He already, you know, feels kind of embarrassing to tell somebody and, you know, have God go, well, I knew that. I knew that. But, you know, God wants us to express that to Him. And I think the answer is that it isn't because God needs us to tell Him so He'll know. It's that we need us to tell Him. We need to go through that experience of recognizing and expressing our dependence on God, because when we do that, I think it reminds us, oh, that's right, I depend on God for this. That's where that hope is. It lies not with, you know, my ingenuity or my resources, but it lies with God. And so I need to take a moment to express that, and it demonstrates that we trust Him when we pray. It isn't that if we pray, then God is going to listen, and if we didn't pray, then God wouldn't even know what we needed. It's that if we don't pray, we have not recognized, we have not expressed to God how much we need Him and depend on Him. We need that. We don't need to wake God up to get His attention. He never sleeps. He's already watching us. All we need to do, though, is approach Him, talk to Him honestly and sincerely. Once again, Jesus isn't saying that there's anything wrong with repeating yourself in prayer when He talks about these guys babbling. The Bible records one time when Jesus said the same prayer three times in a row. Same thing. It says He went back and prayed it the third time, the same thing. And so there's nothing wrong with that. And He even told a story once about a persistent widow that kept coming to a judge again and again and again with the same request. And it says in the Bible that He told us that story so that we should keep praying for something and never give up. So there isn't anything wrong with repeating that. It isn't like you just need to say it once and then forget it. We should persist in our prayers, but the point is that it should be meaningful, not automatic, not some mindless tradition. It should be filled with meaning and significance. And we should pray as if we were actually talking to God, because we are actually talking to God. That's the kind of prayer that God appreciates and the kind of prayer that God answers. You know, God wants you to pray not because He needs to know what you want or He needs to know what you think. That's not why. It's because praying to God is an act of worship. It's an act of worshiping God, and that's why it's so important that you pray with the right motive, because our worship needs to spring and flow from the motive that seeks to honor and obey God. You can say the longest, the most eloquent prayer for the wrong reasons so that people will praise you. But then that's all you get, is people's praise. And on the other hand, the shortest, most simplistic prayer, offered sincerely and offered only because you want to honor and obey God, that prayer will bring God's reward, because that is what God seeks from us, is meaningful conversation, meaningful action, something that we've thought about, and there's more behind it than just we've always done it this way. So the question is not just, are you praying? The important question is, why are you praying? We're going to talk about prayer again next week, and I just encourage you this week to experience that and exercise that, to focus your thoughts in on God, and try to remember that when you speak to Him, you're speaking to Him. We're going to talk about prayer next week, and I'd encourage you to come back and be here as we talk about the Lord's Prayer. But before we go, let's lift our eyes and our hands toward heaven, okay? And let's pray. And by the way, you're welcome to listen, but I'm not really talking to you, okay? Let's direct our thoughts to the Lord as we address the King of Kings. Our Father, we're so grateful for you and for everything that you have done for us and for the truth that you give us in your word, for the fact that you have adopted us as your children, that you care for us and love us even when we're not paying attention to you, even when we're not seeking that from you. Father, we so appreciate you. And our desire this morning is to bring you honor and praise through what we've said here, through our songs that we've sung together. And my desire is that each of us, as we leave, would continue to bring you honor and glory throughout this week. That, Father, we'd be able to do what you've told us about here, that we'd be able to express ourselves honestly and sincerely before you in every and any circumstance as we constantly through the week remember that you are with us, that you're always there beside us, that we don't even need to start into a prayer mode to get you, but you're there. Thank you for being present. I so appreciate that, and the fact that at any time I can address you and come and speak with you. I pray that each of us would know and experience that joy this week and that we would put that into practice, because I know that would bring honor and glory to you. Thank you for this church. Thanks for all that you do for us. We want to ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Thanks for coming today. And if you'd like, I'll say amen. Okay. And thanks for coming today. And God bless you. And Jeremy, I think you've got something for us, right? No? Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Oh. And see, and people sneak up on me in the middle of prayer, and I wasn't even paying attention. Sorry.